This Week in Space Games.
And you like it.
I need to check my input settings are working. Yep, there they are.
Yeah, everybody looks good. See, I've got studio view over I'm in here, the green. So I can see everybody's live waveform and it's just really fancy stuff that goes on here behind the scenes.
F3 monitor. You mean I have to do even less now?
That's not possible.
Well, your your maximum amount of effort is now reduced by only having one monitor. You poor thing.
I know. I've been using multiple monitors for so long now. I don't know how to operate on one monitor.
I'd just kill myself.
Just flailing wildly in the dark.
Too far?
Yeah.
It's got to be this cable, or maybe it's my thing. I don't know. I'll have to work on it.
Is it turned on?
Troubleshoot that right after I do the intro? Okay, yes. It's the Loose Screws Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to Tech Support and Maybe Space Stuff. It's Loose Screws, the best podcast. Full stop.
Period.
Yep.
Amen.
I'm Commander J. Full stop
on somewhere more official.
What's the date today? It's the 7th of August.
The 8th.
3309.
The 7th of the 8th.
It's the 7th of the 8th.
Yes. 3309 years ago.
Play the guitar tracks.
All right. That's good. Yeah, that's great. Love it. All right. This is going to be one podcast. And joining me tonight is Audaxius.
Fuck.
Good evening. Wow.
And Chig.
Fuck.
Yay!
And Teflon.
Because he's my best friend. He's my pal. He's my homeboy. My rotten soldier. He's my sweet cheese.
Sweet a good cheese. Time boy.
For tonight's show, I am the sweet cheese. Teflon is the rotten soldier.
Rotten Trax soldier is the best friend. One.
I'll be Ryan Soldier because that cracks him up all the time.
Yeah. Oh, so bad.
It just kills me. What is that supposed to mean? It's so stupid. Oh, God. Okay.
I actually cut that audio clip short when I put that up because there was one more after that. He's my good time boy is what comes after that.
That's all right. That's all right. No, it's hard to top sweet cheese and rotten soldier. I just can't.
I agree.
Okay. I don't know. I go into Urban Dictionary to find out what a rotten soldier is.
Uh-oh.
Well, first is it's a best friend, once pal, a good time boy, a sweet cheese, a homeboy. So,
oh, my God.
A lesser-known meaning is a well-renowned homeless person. What?
No way.
A well-renowned homeless person. I don't know if there's that. Are there homeless celebrities?
Yeah, it's like there's a quote. Hey, leave him alone. That's my rotten soldier, Eric. I don't know.
That's definitely an insult.
Everybody knows Eric.
All right. Oh, well, let's see. What does the listener have to look forward to on tonight's episode of Space Stuff with Buddies? Well, it's just going to be more discussion about Update 16. We've now had like a week to play the darn thing. So there's going to be some stuff in there. Somebody put an image of some cheese in here, so I expect we're going to be talking about some cheese at some point.
There's text to go with the cheese.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to spoil it.
No.
And
that's a cheese joke.
There's
Space Talk with Buddies has got to be the show name, right?
Space Talk with Buddies? Sure.
Yeah, Space Talk with Buddies.
It's going great so wholesome. Far.
It's it's exactly what you expect. I mean,
it's yet to live up to that name, but it will meet that name.
Well, you're my rotten soldier, so.
So
we will mention space at some point.
Space Talk with rotten soldiers.
Let's see, what's going on? Somebody's phone's ringing. classic Space Talk with Buddies move right there. The phone goes off in the middle of the episode.
Mothership's checking in.
Yep. We've got segments from Bard as the latest episode of, from the Tin Hattium Express. I don't know what it is because I don't preview these things.
Neither do I.
I don't spoil myself. And nobody's here from the Squadron Command. So we're just going to make it up.
Yep.
Sweet. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Audaxius, how have you been this past week, my buddy, great. My space buddy?
I've been spacing, buddy.
Don't call me buddy, pal.
No, I played the game. Played this fucking game.
That's the dream.
We did the thank God we did the AX with the hearts lit up again.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I haven't done that yet.
I have rarely been so thankful over such a minor fix that should have never been required. Yeah, AX was AX this week was great. And I am continually deciding in how much I laud each update as either the death of the game or the best update ever. So the jury's still out. We'll see.
Not picked a side yet.
Picked a side yet. Yeah. I'm being judicious. But I am pleased so far.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Next on the list is Chig. Chig, what's up?
I went and got the audio logs off the deck. What the hell is this? Oh, that shit?
Yes, Dedicant. I did that too.
Those which were pretty Google damn swears badass.
Is not a word, by the way. If you ever try to look up anything about that megaship, Google's like, that's not a word, bro. You can't say that.
Wow. That's because Google is not a space buddy. Space buddy
it's
would
not.
Have your back.
Google is not included in my space buddies. Not after what it pulled.
So that's if you haven't gone and listened to those, go listen to them. Even if you got to YouTube it, you know, if
you haven't heard those logs, you're fucking up.
Some of the best in the game.
You're fired.
Yeah.
And really, really makes you wonder what's coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very good stuff. It's up there with, you know, all of the generation ship sound stuff that you get, you know, you go out and get that, but this is like one big dump, a bunch of different perspectives. It was badass. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yes. Worth listening to all of them. And there's a fair amount. Yeah.
Yeah. There's 10.
And actually, like, you can YouTube it, like they said, but the day after it came out, the Thargoids had been cleared from that system. So by the time I got out there, like the very next day to that megaship, there were no longer any Thargoid attacks. You can take your sweet time downloading those logs.
Yeah, when I showed up, there was, I didn't expect anyone. There was five other players all outfitted for AX just sitting there doing nothing. And I was like, oh, someone's late to the party.
Yeah, I was there. I was in my Cutter, and then there was an Anaconda there and a Corvette, and they were all collecting crap, you know, the stuff floating around there and stuff. And while I was getting logs, what my question though, am I a dummy? Like sound port. Well, yeah, the sound ports aren't like labeled in any way, so you got to like remember which one you went to. And you gotta, like, work
they're numbered.
Your way down. Like
numbered.
Mine weren't numbered until after I downloaded them.
Yeah, they're numbered.
In my contacts panel, they were really? 0 through 9. Yeah,
one of mine was. You know, data port, just data port.
No, they're ship log uplink.
There it is. Yeah,
ship log uplink 0 through 9.
That's all that they were. Mine weren't numbered.
Yeah.
So I kept randomly going, and I'd go back. I'd go, did I get that one? And then I'd scan it, and then it would be like,
you've already
got this one.
Yeah.
Like, well, damn it! All right, now which one am I missing? Because you know, there's like, you know, one of two. You know, once you download them, they're different people's names, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm missing number one there and right there. So I don't know, but I got them all.
Yeah.
Just and with a pain in the ass.
And just as a minor selling point, if you're listening to this episode, don't go on YouTube, fly there in the game. So much of this game is the atmosphere and like, oh, all they do is audio logs. It's like, yeah, but when you're there and you're like orbiting this wrecked megaship, they do a hell of a good job with the graphics and all the little touches and everything. You float around in space listening to it. Don't YouTube it. Actually fly out there. That's so much of the ambiance that's worth these little things they put in.
It is cool because I'll be like floating next to the ship and kind of looking at the ship and realize that these logs took place in that ship. And it does give it a weird, creepy vibe. So I agree 100%. Fly out and do it.
Atmospheric storytelling.
But I'm also very lazy. So if you don't want to fly out there, go to YouTube and do it. But
oh, Jesus.
Other than that, I've got hopefully my final interview on this other job, and I can get a job offer tomorrow. I'm very excited about that. And it has made me a little bit squirrely today and tonight, you know, because I'm kind of a bit distracted by that. I picked up, I don't know, you guys might not have heard of it. This new game came out, Baldur's Gate, Baldur's...
Like a bald something. Guy thing?
Yeah, it's I think it's the third one. Yeah,
it's a gated community for bald people.
Yeah, it's kind of taken over my life at the moment. And I feel, and I'm kind of annoyed about bald people taking over my life.
Oh my God, I have been playing so much of this game also.
Yeah, I noticed when I got up to like 5 hours, I was like, how many hours does Teflon have? And it's like 8 million. I'm like, this thing only came out like a week ago. So
I've actually had it for like for like 2 or 3 years because I bought it when it was in early access.
It's like more hours than have actually chronologically passed in real life.
Yeah, and I've got a rule. I don't like to buy games when they first come out, but because it was in early access for so long, and then they actually released it earlier, that made me feel that they felt it was in a really good place. And I have not read of any kind of big technical snafus or anything. I haven't encountered any bugs at all. It runs smooth as butter on my PC and on my Steam Deck. And yeah, I wish... I didn't know I needed it in my life, and now I fucking love that game.
Oh my God. What kind of character did you make?
I decided to start simple. I just went, you know, my favorite D&D character I ever had was just a human mage. So I just started there, but I'm already thinking about starting over and going all kinds of crazy with it. But then I'm like, no, I'm going to go through this playthrough with that character and play the hero role. Then I'll go through it again and be the absolute asshole evil fucker. The next
you're going to go do the, you're going to do the Dark Urge origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. I've read about it a little bit, but yeah.
So I made a drow sorcerer, for this playthrough. And I was watching somebody stream earlier today, and, this game is so vast and so crazy and has so many different directions and branches it can go. I had just been accomplishing, like, taking on the same task that the streamer was – I was watching the streamer do, right? And he was going a completely different direction solving it than what I did that I didn't even know was available.
Yeah.
Like, I made friends with this – I don't want to spoil anything, but I made friends with this – druid guy, and then I had
God damn it. Spoiled.
What? I'm spoiled.
You're spoiling everything.
Are you really spoiled, Ching?
I just...
No.
Okay.
I just want to... Oh, sorry. Keep going.
I'll just say I made friends with this dude, and then I had to fight like these leaders of this thing, and this person that I was watching was totally having
an orgy?
He was almost kind of seducing his way through it with one of the leaders. And I was like, I didn't know you could go that route. Like, it wasn't really a seduction kind of thing. It was more of he approached it differently, ended up befriending one of them and becoming close to one of them, and was affecting change in what needed to be done that way. And I would have never known that was an option. And
well,
that's so different than me explaining it doesn't do it justice. Just watching it and it being so different than what I experienced. Like, it's crazy
how much. I just have to point out that Teflon's no spoilers censored version of that story was so well done. It was like watching a TV show with the volume off. Like, I know kind of what happened, but I have no clue of any details.
You mean a spoiler-free
version? I fought the leaders of this group that were doing a thing.
You can hear him trying not to say it.
For me, the game, we don't want to talk Baldur's Gate all night, but what's cool about it is there's literally infinite ways of doing things in this game. There's no simple way. I mean, like he said with the dialogue and stuff, you'll get pop-up skill checks where you can try to intimidate or use muscle to do it or, you know, talk certain ways. There's that. But also, like in combat, you got a party of four characters that could be, you know, there's so many different classes in D&D. Then there's so many different proficiencies and different spells and different places you can move on the map and use the environment if you need to and all this stuff that every encounter there's like, will be completely different every time you do it. And it's just, it's insane.
There's like 600 spells in this game.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
It's insane. It is insane the amount of, like, when I paid for the early access version, all I was able to see was like Act One, and then whenever they added new classes in, I could see, oh, cool, they put this race in, or they put this class in. That's neat. Oh, they have some really cool abilities. And then when they drop the game, and like, it's like this big content drop of like, all right, here's everything else. Wonk. And it's like, yep. Holy shit. Like, I didn't imagine it was going to be as big and as vast and as detailed as it is. But holy shit, you guys.
I really had no idea you're going to be able to pick your genitals. That's just bonkers to me.
That's also crazy. And also, I always pick penis D.
All right, guys, it's been a great show. We'd love to thank everyone for listening. And
that's a big problem with the game, though, is resisting the urge of figuring out how to fuck everything. You know, so I'm going with.
I mean, it sounds like D&D to me. Quest. That sounds a lot like D&D to me. It doesn't sound like D&D to you.
I could probably go through life without hearing about Chig's dark urges. I don't know about you guys.
Much like there's no wrong way to play Dungeons and Dragons, there's no wrong way to play Dungeons and Dragons Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Like this shit is incredible. I recommend anybody who's a fan of RPGs play it. Maybe even some that aren't a fan of RPGs, because, like, by God, it is incredible.
And get through the initial, it's a little bit. There's a lot going on. It's not a dangerous learning curve, but there's definitely, you know, realizing what all the different little menus are and your spells and that there's a lot going on. And at first it seems a little overwhelming. Then as soon as you realize what's going on and you start getting the hang of the UI a little bit and stuff, all of a sudden it opens up and you're just like, holy freaking crap. It's unbelievable.
You know, I thought the tutorial was very well done, but I'm, just now,
I didn't do a tutorial. Saying, the hell's a tutorial?
Well, just now, with you saying that, I feel like, you know, that I might be a little bit ahead of the curve on that, because I know the D&D 5th edition mechanics so well because of playing so much of it, that I might have just had an easier time because I already know how to play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. So it's really just, you know, seeing where everything's laid out. You know what I mean? And how to do the different things.
Well, I haven't played a turn-based game in like forever. So that was, you know, when you start playing, like I was playing Elden Ring a lot before this when I wasn't playing Elite. And that's kind of frenetic. You know, you're constantly going. So in this game where you're kind of moving your pieces about, and then all of a sudden you get into combat and you feel like rush and you realize, oh, I don't have to rush at all. I can think about every move and strategically plan everything out. And it becomes a lot more relaxing because you can take the time to do what you want because everybody gets their, you know, turn. So it was a different speed game that I haven't played since God, many, 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 many years.
You know, one of the things I noticed too is, and it's very D&D like is, I don't know if you've done this yet. You did something wrong, or made a mistake and, gotten into way more shit than you thought you could handle. And you are able to get out of it. Like, it was a disaster. And then I had everybody in this whole fucking fortress mad at me. And they were all coming to kill us. And, like, I was like, there is no way I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to have to revert to a save when I die. But, like, I don't want to just, you know, scum save. I want to make them work for it. I want you to make me go back. You know, so if they kill all of my party, then I'll have to reload a save. But yeah, I was 100% certain. I was like, I'm going to fight this out. But like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And then like you make it through by the skin of your teeth and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. The balance right now, I mean, for my level of skill is like just about right. I end up with like two party members down that you got to get up after the fight and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't going to survive that. And somehow I did by the skin of my teeth.
You know, it reminds me of the fight on the ship that you guys had when we played D&D.
Yeah. With against the crabs.
Yes.
And why Pepperjack hates boats now. Yep. 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 I remember that.
Yeah. So that's
all right. So that was my week. Yep. How about you, Tef?
Same thing. Well, a lot of the same thing, but I haven't been here for a while. So I'll just briefly cover a few other things, especially since we already got the Baldur's Gate 3 out of the way, because that's really all I'm playing at the moment. I have played a little bit of Elite. I played enough of it to try on the Steam Deck when I got my Steam Deck. And it has arrived, and I've set it up and everything since the last time I was on the show. And so, yeah, I've been trying it out on the Steam Deck. It runs pretty good. I need to tinker with it some more and get some more controls mapped differently. But I enjoy it, and it's a good way for me to go hang out on the couch or sit in bed and play Elite or really anything. Because I've played Crusader Kings on here. I bought SnowRunner because I saw Chig was looking at picking it up, and I was like,
I got it.
Pull the trigger on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I picked it up.
That's pretty neat. I'd probably play more of that if Baldur's Gate 3 wasn't out.
Yeah, same.
Other space games I've since played, Stellaris. I started another Stellaris run. You guys know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Space Pope. No, ate a Space Pope. Got it.
And I've played some more Sturdin, because that's a very easy game to play on the go. And just sit down for like a couple minutes and play Sturdin. It's the side-scrolling space shooter.
Okay.
But another thing that I feel like would be particularly of interest to Trax, well, and you too, Chig, but Trax is the one who got me really started on it, is I was tinkering with my Steam Deck, which is a lot of fun, getting in there and stuff like that. I have started putting some emulation on there.
Nice.
I don't have a Retroid yet, but I started doing it on my Steam Deck, and the software that I downloaded for it was called EmuDeck, and it is just fantastic. It streamlines so much of the process of putting games and BIOS and stuff on here, because it comes with a lot of the most popular emulators.
Okay.
When it installs, and it streamlines the whole process of putting everything together so well, and it makes like great UIs for it, for everything. Like, I wish I could show you. I'm sitting here flipping through the menu of different systems I have, and then I just click on one, and then it shows me all the games I have downloaded for, like, you know, NES or PlayStation.
Okay.
It's fantastic. So I've gotten into emulation. I do need to mess around with this some more. I've actually ordered some other hardware pieces or hardware stuff to help me out with more emulation. I'm going to be ordering my 2 terabyte external drive to store ROMs and BIOS folders on. And I got a two-way flash drive for putting folders on and transferring them over to the Steam Deck, because it only has the USB-C port, and my computer doesn't have one. I'm also ordering a large SD card to put in it, and I'm gonna make that kind of like the place where all my emulation lives, is on that memory. So yeah. That's what I've been doing. I mean, I've had a lot of personal stuff going on the last few weeks, but I don't want to get into that on the show. But things are looking at least a little better now. So,
okay, good.
Here I am again.
Yeah, good. Glad people are feeling better.
How have you been?
What? Oh.
Well, how have you been?
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, I did some... some Elite-ing, did some update 16-ing, checking out all the new things. Did a couple of streams last week, actually. And then we're just, so tomorrow morning we're going out, we're going to fly out to California for a week. It's our 10th wedding anniversary in a few days, so we made a little trip out to San Francisco and Sonoma. And someplace else, Lake Tahoe.
You're gonna be back for time for the next show, right?
No, sir.
Oh, he'll be back in time for update 17 though.
I'm coming back on next Tuesday. So I mean, whatever you guys do, we'll figure out something. Maybe post, and I might swing back through and post a more audio cleaned up version, or maybe it'll be just fine. I don't know. I figure you might just grab the thing off of the premix off of Craig. Well, that won't have the sound. Anyway, whatever. I was going to talk to you guys about this later, but anyway,
okay, we'll figure we'll do something it later. Out.
Either the podcast will be a day or two late, or I'll find some way of letting these guys post it, because I am not going to have a computer with me. So anyway.
What if we just made this the last episode of Loose Screws?
And just end it on a high note.
Yeah, just end it right now. On
a high note. Space chats with buddies.
Yeah, space chat with buddies.
What do we call it? I already forgot. Space chat with space, buddies. I better write that down.
Space chat.
Chatting space with buddies. I don't know. We already lost track.
I can't remember what we said. The name? We said it at the beginning. I'll go back to the beginning and find it later. It's okay.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
So anyway, we're going on a little trip tomorrow. I'll be back on the following Tuesday.
Going on a little trip, buddy?
Just a little trip.
You can have some fun.
I haven't been out to California before, so yeah. We're gonna do so. We got some stargazing planned in Lake Tahoe. It's supposed to be one of the best, one of the darkest skies in the country. So I'm excited about that. Gonna go see Alcatraz. Apparently, the tour that my wife picked out is at night. So,
this the haunted tour.
The ghost of Alcatraz.
They're gonna hire you.
I was gonna say like Nick Cage before me. I'm gonna
what kind of
go to Alcatraz?
Who is this?
Ghost of Sean Connery
from The Rock.
He stole my Humvee. Yeah.
Anyway. Beware the ghost of Al Capone, who will make sure you've done your taxes.
He will do your taxes.
Oh, criminal God. Smart, you can always get him on tax fraud.
The ghost of Al Capone will do your taxes to ensure you go to prison.
Right. Yeah.
My God. Anyway, yeah, that's the size of it. Everything, all my game stuff, we're going to chit-chat about the update 16 in a bit. So I'm going to skip that.
We are
because there's you guys did a great job of going over the notes, but now that we've had a time to play, we know what's in and what's out.
You're gonna tell us what we did wrong,
what fixes good. Didn't take no not what you guys did wrong
what oh no
all right I'll tell you what, let's do I gotta figure out where the buttons are because the interface is different. Okay, let's do the squad update, squadron briefing.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
And we're just going to make it.
In LIH 145, we got a war. Really got to win that one, guys. Got to push hard. We're looking to displace the Lord.
In a cockwang, there's a war we want to lose.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys want to put your anacondas right in Hag Hole? That's really where we need those trade dividends.
As many as you can fit into Hag Hole every time. Yes.
Yep.
And as usual in Kalarum, nothing but multi crew, please.
Is that all we got?
That's the word.
Actually, I think somebody updated this, so I am going to go ahead and read it. It says that there are wars in bagels.
A cockwing?
Nope, bagels. And BD44-4389.
Rolls right off the top.
And we're losing. So top priority, there are two wars that we want to win. So if you're interested in fighting wars and winning wars, go down to the Standing Orders channel and get that stuff going. Kalarum is apparently still very, very bad. And there's some expansion planning. There's some other expansions. There's some blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Anyway, that's the best I can do.
Well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But two wars, top priority, two wars. Yep. All right. Next thing. Next segment is going to be Tin Hat Aim Express. I can't wait to find out what happens next. Here we go.
Remember to mute it.
On the board, the Tin Hat Aim Express!
Okay, fine. I'll admit I got the ending I wanted with the Dedicant. Or should I say the Dedicant? Get it? Because, you know, it's dead. But I'm sure...
The music's bad and you should feel bad.
Oh, come on. That was funny and...
Bard.
Thanks for knocking.
I have a report for your reviewing.
What kind of report?
A detailed list of repairs the crew made to the Express during the week.
I've never gotten one of these before. Just a weekly upkeep bill.
I went ahead and took the initiative to request these for your review weekly.
That's very kind. Wow, there's a lot here.
I want you to read them for the audience.
You want me to read all of these patch notes for the recording?
Yes.
Not gonna happen.
Why not? The crew worked very hard on these notes, and some of the details have jokes in them, or so I've been told.
You have any idea how long it would take me to compile this list to an entertaining format? One audible minute is an hour behind the scenes work, so if this goes for 40 minutes...
Wouldn't take you a week if you'd streamline things.
Okay, you tell me how to streamline creativity while maintaining its entertainment value.
Give me a second to process this.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought. Thinking up a skit, hunting down memes, writing, condensing, rehearsing, and reciting a script, then putting it all together and smoothing out the mistakes, but the magic of editing takes a lot of time.
I'm sorry, I was busy rebooting. Did you say something?
I'm gonna put that mouth of yours to good use when I'm done with this.
What if I said I have a solution? You can use the same formula as the movie industry uses for its superhero films.
And for that, you're going to get the Bendover Mark III upgrade.
Yes, Daddy.
Let's get started. August 3rd, the fate of the Dedicant. The holy ship, ironically filled with holes, when the whole crew is missing...
This needs to stop! Now!
Oh, fine.
The next day.
August 4th. Cultists blamed for Dedicant tragedy. Finger pointing and political posturing. One man's catastrophe is another's platform.
Oh, the humanity.
That's all I have for you this week. Have fun out there.
Please don't hurt me.
Jesus Christ.
He just keeps walking closer and closer to that line.
The romance arc between these two, just if the tension is just too much.
The sexual tension is palpable.
Yeah, just bang already. Jesus.
Yeah, it's a stressful work environment, you know, close proximity. It's just, it's a boiling cauldron.
It's if the you obvious get freaky, progression.
If you want to get freaky, I could send Tefbot back over.
Oh, God. Oh, God. We got to have Tefbot and whatever the hell this thing is that Bard's got going. They got to get together. Oh, man.
Well, nothing good will come of this.
No, it never does.
I have a feeling I'd be in trouble in that situation. Let's not go down that road.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's getting arrested. Well,
you go all southern on that. Arrest. What was that?
Well, bless your heart.
Well, speaking of update 16, jail. How have you guys been finding this update now that you had a little more time to play? I will tell you one thing right off the top. One of those fixes on these patch notes did not fix. Can you guess what it was? It was that Thargoids will retreat from systems that they've been retreating from.
Oh my God, are they still in Bumbo?
Oh yeah.
They are still in Bumbo. So the patch note says that it would happen at the weekly tick, the Thargoid tick. But previously during update 15, a system that was a Counter-Strike state. And then, sorry, Teflon, is your Stream Deck speakers on? I keep hearing, like...
I think so.
Like, squeaks and beeps and stuff.
I thought
it was like,
the Tinhadium Express still playing.
Really?
No, like, I keep hearing stuff that sounds like computer noises and maybe beeps and menus and stuff. Yeah.
He's just casting Magic Missile over.
He's just over there, like, playing with his speakers blaring. He's like, well, who cares?
Just turn this all the way up.
Yep, that was it.
Yep, that's definitely what we're hearing. We're hearing little blasts of it whenever it gets loud enough.
I'm glad you give your all. Thank you.
You know me. I'm a workhorse.
Yep, yep. Okay, anyway. So systems that were Counter-Strike state, so they had Thargoid. They were Thargoid controlled, but they had conflict zones. After that was resolved and the humans retook control of that system, the state would go back to normal and regular BGS would resume, but the Thargoid conflict zones would not go away, and the stations all still had conflict zones around them, even though they didn't know it, and they were issuing fines to people who shot their guns while trying to defend the station from the attacking Thargoids that the station didn't know were there, and everything like that. So anyway, that was supposed to be fixed, but they still
know they're there, but they are just friends now. Maybe the Thargoids just moved into Bumbo.
Well, when you go in, the conflict zone scenario begins. Like they say, we're under attack, you know, sign up, and you click the thing in your comms panel and you get the progress bar and you get all the different progress stages.
That's just our rotten soldier, Eric. He's got access to the comms. He's messing with us.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's still in there. He's still doing it because there are systems that have been retaken still retain their conflict zones even after the update. So I'm expecting a fix for that, but we'll see. That's the only thing I've noticed that was claimed to fix that didn't fix.
We just discovered something else this week, too.
This game has so many. Oh, sorry.
Well, he discovered that FDev tech support has no idea how the BGS works.
Well, I wasn't going to give him too hard a time about that. Yeah, I'm asking tech support about the consortium because they've been well over 75% for many days and they're not going into expansion. We knew there wasn't an expansion target, but we just wanted to know like why this faction is different, trying to get some info out of them. Because we put in the work, you know, why is this faction different? Why does it never produce any ship missions, only on foot, no matter what the state is? Why does it never even try to go into expansion? Because even a regular faction, even if there's no targets, it will attempt to go into expansion. This one doesn't. So I was like, what's going on? And basically they told me that,
mind your business.
Well, first they told me that it had only been in over 75% for this many cycles, so I needed to wait until after the Thursday tick, which was only one day away. So I politely waited for the Thursday tick, and then I wrote back and said, so it's happened, but just so you know, BGS doesn't go on a weekly tick, it goes on a daily tick.
nobody knows how this tick in this game works. Are you kidding me? The Romans had more success sacrificing chickens before a battle than this game has as far as the tick being any semblance of reliable.
It's not tech support's job to know how the BGS works. I'm kind of just trying to anyway, but they are forwarding the question to development to get some response, which I still kind of expect is just going to be a,
I hope they come back.
You don't get to know, but we'll see.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
They might as well.
That's the answer.
Like, oh, well,
I don't know. So they were away for the weekend. I actually didn't get a reply today. So I don't know. I guess maybe I'll prod him again. But anyway,
yeah, they've been over 80. Over 80% since the 29th. So it's been over a week. They've been over 80%.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, it deserves an answer. Yep. I would love whoever answers. You know, if the CMs wanted to answer, I don't care. I just, you know, this was a way to definitely get a response, whether it's a good one or not. But if Dev doesn't come back with anything, then I don't know, maybe I'd ask the CMs or something, but obviously they would going to be very busy coming right after an update and everything. So I didn't bother them yet, but whatever. So
what I hope is that they look at it and some dev looks at it, goes, oh shit, that wasn't supposed to be in there. And they just delete the codex entry and delete the system from the game.
Stuff, all the voice acting they recorded for the codex. Yep. It's all gone.
They give it the Thargoid CQC treatment.
Just pretend it never happened. Yeah.
Delete. What? What consortium?
Yeah,
we're going to pretend that never happened.
My
God.
You're just going to gaslight us like, yeah, that wasn't a real thing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's on YouTube, man. Yeah, people make fake videos all the time. That's ChatGTP, idiots.
Okay, well, seriously, so anything else that you guys want to pick out from the patch, or do you want to just start talking about new content?
Talk away about new content.
All right. Yeah, I don't see anything else. All right. Mm-hmm. Scythes. Scythes have appeared.
Yep.
Scythes, and they do try to take your stuff as long as it's people.
And they are officially named after a fictional weapon that the Grim Reaper carries. So now we have it confirmed that Glaives was from the movie in the 80s, correct?
So which movie that had the Grim Reaper in it is Scythe from?
Well,
a scythe is
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, dummy.
A scythe is a traditional tool of harvesting. When they would harvest wheat and things back in the old days,
and a glaive is
to cut it down. It's a
traditional tool for fighting monsters in 80s movies.
They would reap what they sowed earlier on in the year. They would reap the wheat. The Grim Reaper carries a scythe to reap your soul.
Exactly.
Is the Grim Reaper just a misunderstood farmer?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
He doesn't have any eyeballs, so he could just be blind and just swinging that thing around. Yeah,
he's only a farmer if he has something to do with creating people's souls too.
Oh yeah, and it's a black robe. It's not black overalls, so probably not.
Well, it does just cover everything. It is over all of his body.
I approve of that one.
Yep. Premium elite content.
So the scythe does it. It comes after people. It doesn't just stay in Thargoid space. It comes out a little ways from the front, and it will attack you. It will enter. It's found in Threat 4 signal sources sometimes. But it's much easier to find than that, because if you have an escape pod or a passenger of any kind on your ship, it will interdict you.
I love that they added if you have passengers in passenger cabins, because it's a small thing, but that's not just the standard like limpet interacts with the cargo bay opens up. It's such a small thing, but it's just the little extra programming that went into if they have passengers, then it generates an escape pod in their cargo bay and goes out. And I was like, at least it wasn't a complete reskin. They did do some extra work. I love that touch.
Mm. You know, it is. That's why they're called a scythe, because they're harvesting people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're reaping them.
Well, so have you guys gone out and seen them yet, or what?
I've murdered a handful of them. Yeah, they got killed by one.
Oh, I died to one.
Sorry, I haven't.
Yeah, I could see them being dangerous if you were outfitted for passenger running and not hardened at all.
They're tweaked though. Their lightning is a variation of the scythes or glaive.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, the lightning, it only uses the lightning if you have a shield.
Yeah. So it's almost like, what's that power play weapon that just is the pirating one?
Cytoscramblers.
Yeah, it's like it was tweaked to just get the ship vulnerable for their little limpets to get in.
Well, I think actually, Adaxius, Thargoid lightning is coded to do practically no hull damage. It's pretty significant, and the scythes is pretty significant damage against shields, but the lightning has always been pretty ineffective at anything but immobilizing you, unless you have a shield. So, it immobilizes you. They don't seem to be any stronger or weaker than glaives as far as hit points and stuff like that, but they don't have any anti-guardian effect on their lightning. So, you know, even if you do have a shield and they do strike you with lightning, they're not going to melt guardian guns. So you can bring strong AX guns to that fight and end them very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outfitted with proper guardian guns, and you just have an escape pod with you, you can make a lot of money very quickly. Actually, they're worth 4.5 million a pop, and I don't know, I can kill them in 3 or 4 volleys from guardian guns, so it doesn't take very long.
I saw a funny comment on Reddit. Someone said like this was the fastest money they think they've seen in Elite, because it was like 80 million an hour. And I was like, oh, honey, you don't remember Void Opals.
Well, sweet summer child.
Oh, sweetheart.
Just AXCZ.
I think I did.
Yeah, 80 million is pretty good. We were definitely able to do better in the 22460 event days. Yeah. But
I think 200 million is the most ever made in an hour.
Yeah, you could make some crazy money back in the day, but $80 million an hour is still nothing to sneeze at. But
yeah,
just space billionaires like us, that's chump change.
Well, this is after the price for Thargoid bodies was nerfed too. So yes. It used to be higher.
I don't know if we need more Scythe talk, but that also transitions into the fleet carrier commodity price change. If we want to go down
what
that route.
Have you guys been making good use? Well, that you can set your prices up to 10,000 times or something now.
Yeah.
They added one or two more zeros to how far you can push the price.
10 times increase in all the max price of all commodities.
I knew not that was a thing.
Yep. So wealth transfer, that's like a 5-minute thing now.
Well, I do a billion in 5 minutes before. It was pretty easy, but...
Well, now you can probably do it in one transaction.
I did. In my on-foot engineering phase, I benefited hugely from the Inara search where you can look for people's fleet carriers where they're selling the thing. But it was always very rare that someone would go to the effort and the important stuff like settlement defense plans, it never happens. It's like actually reasonable to go get things and sell them now if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Very cool, actually.
Yeah.
I have been excited about that because there is a couple of things I still need, but I haven't really looked yet, but I will be searching and trying to buy them if I can. Mm-hmm. If it's fruitful, that would be good.
Yeah.
So
there's a couple on foot things that you get at least 3 or 4 million for now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not nothing.
Dang. Dang. Yep. Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. So Scythe is cool sound design. It looks different than the glaive. Apparently it also had, if you're interested in it from a combat perspective or just a game mechanics perspective, you can, Mechan. I would suggest Mechan's latest video. Mechan from the AXI did sort of a, you know, what is it? It's like combat capabilities assessment video. He's done the last few new additions too, but just goes over like what it does, the Thargoid breaching device that attaches to your ship, and then the little recovery drones and its containment missile. So yeah, it has a containment missile that reboots your FSD. It has the lightning, but only if you have a shield. Other than that, not particularly tough. You can kind of just fly backwards and shoot it. It doesn't have any particular neat, you know, process you have to go through to kill it. Just like the other hunter.
As an unscythed commander, is it more interesting than blowing up an Orthrus?
Yes.
Yeah.
More interesting per hour. Actually, I haven't looked for Orthrus since they supposedly the numbers of Orthrus were buffed, but I have not checked to verify that.
Orthrus
is like the most boring thing they ever added to the game.
Yeah,
so the Orthrus still has the trouble of, I don't think I would go hunting Orthrus. For one thing, we know it's not necessary in order to turn alert systems over because they're all just falling in hours by tissue samples still. Combat's still not necessary. Here's the back of the page on update 16 is nothing changed as far as whether any combat was actually required in this war. Mm. I mean, has anybody heard of Scythes actually interrupting the flow of passengers anywhere? Like actually in a meaningful way, not just like, oh, I wasn't expecting this and I got interdicted. I wasn't even doing anything complaints.
You don't have the volume of evacuations you did back when invasions were an actual threat. I loved running the gauntlet. I had my whole Anaconda still set up for it. I loved running the gauntlet. And if you're at an invasion system that was a little deeper in, you knew you had to plan out because you were going to get interdicted. And like this mechanic would perfectly supplement that. And now you have a handful of alert systems that offer that. And then they get wiped out.
They get wiped out in no time without needing to run the passengers. I'm sure some people do it. They had the addition in this update of higher paying passengers. I've not even looked for that because it's trouble to even find the alerts. You got to get on there like on the Thursday where they're going to be cleared. So I don't know. It's still not. Plus, the Scythe interdicts you in normal space. So if I picked up passengers at a station, I'm highwaking from that station to the next system. So then they have that probably that one opportunity to get me between that jump and, you know, what does it take, like 35 seconds to arrive at a star and jump to the next one?
Yeah.
That's the opportunity that a scythe would actually have to interdict me, and then I'm probably too far away from the front.
I don't know if that would
actually impede anything.
I say just remove any distance constraints they have on the scythe and let it slowly like bleed.
Let
its
it
way
crawl bubble. Over the whole bubble.
Yeah. Like, oh
people,
my god, I
people
got
on the other side of the bubble.
Are trying, like, what the
they're trying to do like a Empire faction grind.
Oh, they're doing runs. Their own ego runs.
Yeah, and they're getting scythed.
Honestly, God, you know,
point.
I'm still so happy about the direction that Update 15 pushed and this whole like real time strategy bubble wide war effort thing that got nuked by fucking tissue samples. Like, I remember the galaxy map lit up with invasions of me. I'm like, this is great. And then now it's like a shopping mall that's past its prime. It's just
everything's closed.
It's just empty.
That is a great analogy. Wow.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever heard a more apt description than that.
I know there's people here, but there's nothing going on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Scythe is clearly here for the story reasons.
Yeah.
And what that, you know, that'll lead to something at some point. But as for right now, I just don't think like it's there.
Here's the conjecture, and I'm going to not spoil. I got to pull a Teflon level of not spoiling. So in the audio logs, there's interesting thing that can be heard. And again,
a distinctive sound, you could say.
It gets me wondering, is the timing of that related to the abduction of people, if you can kind of catch my drift? I wonder if they're going to dovetail those two together or not. That's just a
damn well better.
Because I remember that there was years ago now, there was that like leaked model of an Onfit Thargoid, and apparently it was all a bunch of hoo-ha. But the idea somehow that like the Thargoids are repurposing humans to fight their war, I think it'd be cool.
Whatever. We have to see what it actually is. I think that's a weird, like, human zombies.
I don't know.
I just,
the cynical part of me is like, well, all they would have to do is reskin the human NPCs and give them Thargoid, like, paint. And I'm like, oh no, I hope they do more than that.
I'm okay. Somebody said it, Half-Life Alyx, the people with the face hugger things on them, just put those in this game. I'm fine with that.
I mean, the whole repurposing people to fight in your army worked for Mass Effect.
Mm.
Well, I'll say for me personally, if I finally someday fight a Thargoid on foot, a Thargoid soldier, and it's a human, that's going to be such a ridiculous letdown. Like, are you
serious?
I don't know.
Think about it. They've been taking all these escape pods. Now they're gathering more escape pods. They could be building up an army right now.
You could come up with a lot of fun reasons for that to be happening. But when I, you know, here's some other audio logs. The audio logs of Caleb Witcherly talking about the Thargoid that they had captured back at Inra. And how it was a savage beast and they had it in a cage and it hurt his eye and all this stuff. That's the thing.
Well, those are the generals.
When we someday fight them, that's the thing we need to fight. Now, if we end up fighting a zombie, if that's a weapon they use, if we have like a Night King situation where the Thargoid like raises an army of humans to fight alongside him, but as long as he's still there, if there's no Thargoid there and it's like facehugger humans, that's going to be a major letdown. It's
clearly just human NPCs with a green paint job.
You know, if we have a Thargoid on foot and he's got like a
green onesie. I'm an alien.
It's just the Remlock suit.
I'm on Team Thargoid.
They just film a guy in a green screen suit.
And
there we go.
And all Green their audio, all their audio chatter is just the interceptor roars.
Jeez.
Oh God. No, we have both fingers crossed. We are hoping for the best and the better.
Which is zombie people or zombie Thargoids.
No.
Yeah. Tharbees? Zomgoids?
Stop it with the whole combining words. That every time anything new comes in Elite, people combine words to describe it. Drives me nuts.
If Burr and Reen can go Thimpits, I can go Zomgoids.
I want
them to be more amoeba-like, where they don't have a definitive shape to them.
They're all of a sudden single cellular, only huge.
Well. Yes,
I have faith. I think like as far as like the scythe and the glaive and like the direction of having a new class of ship, the visual design, if they can keep that up, I think I hope they'll do that for the on foot folks.
Weed whackers next.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a kick out of that one. Yeah. All right, next thing.
Yep.
The Barnacle Matrix.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Some warp stuff. So this is what I went to check out on the second day of after the patch. So new Thargoid related surface sites have been popping up in Thargoid controlled systems in the war zone. We're up to I'm gonna get a live number. It was like 40 something earlier today. Let me Barnacle, here we go. Let's see. Oh, 46. There are 46 known currently there are 46 known Barnacle Matrix sites. So anyway, yeah, so these are like what were they called before? Like the meta alloy forests or
sorry, yeah.
I guess they were called barnacles before, right?
We just called them the crystal forest. That's what we call
no,
them.
Crystal forest is for raw mats. This is a Thargoid site that produces the original barnacles produce meta alloys. So you can farm them there and occasionally an interceptor will come and like do a fun little light show.
Make you poop your pants, but it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't really attack you.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. They're out in like Witch Head and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And these these are a new thing. There's a few different organisms that you can do composition scanner stuff on. It's pretty cool. You can check them out. They're patrolled by Revenant. And there is the coral trees. One of the pieces is called coral trees. Produce a sap that you can like shoot with the SRV gun or with any gun, and then collect with the SRV. And it is a commodity. It is a caustic commodity. So fair warning, it melts your SRV. But it's fun, and you know it's a little. Little game loop. I went out and I ended up collecting 10 of them, I think. Borked was out there with me. So we landed together and the Revenant don't seem to show up if you're just flying around. You can sort of safely just look at it and everything's fine. As soon as you touch down, the Revenant come out of the corners. And they just got really in our face right away. And eventually my Mamba was going to lose its shield, and I managed to get a couple of pieces of sap out, and then I had to like do a reboot because it's a prismatic shield. But then later I went back, and when there was just one ship there, I can sort of park at the outskirts where they're not going to notice me and drive an SRV in, and actually most of the time can manage to get some sap and get back to the ship without being bothered and occasionally interacting with Revenant and having to shoot them down and stuff. But it's pretty fun. But I did kind of make note of, once again, another thing that got harder when there was two of us there. I guess we were just too much action, and the Revenant just came over instantly. And there was sort of not much you can do from a ship to keep them at bay. And yeah, it was a little.
Yeah, we can't be having multiplayer play in our multiplayer game, man.
It's just another thing that is. You know, once again, the next new thing on the list where you add multiplayer to it and the whole thing kind of gets a lot harder or falls apart entirely. But it's pretty cool. New sounds, new places to be. So they're scattered all around the Thargoid front. There's a Google Doc that I'm referring to. I'm not sure who made this, but I found it shared on some Discord that's collecting all the data about them. And, you know, you can even sort it by which. I mean, there's some special notes here if you're going to try to pick out which one to go to, or if you discover one you want to add to it. But you can sort them by what Titan they're near, you know, which particular bubble and so on.
Is this the beginning?
Should I share this in the show notes? Are you guys interested?
Yes, sure.
All right.
Is this the beginning of them growing their foot soldiers?
Yeah, I don't know. They're growing something. Mm-hmm. I felt like, so when you stand near some of these things there, you can hear the sounds, as you often can in Elite. You can hear sort of the sounds of these objects when you're near them. And some of them have a clicking that's not the same, but it's reminiscent of what the scythe sounds like.
I think as much as they can keep the trajectory they're going, they said that the whole hunter class is an evolution based on humanity specifically. And it's them adapting to us as a threat. So that's why I think it's like, why do the glaives go 800 meters a second? Well, that's, you know, faster than we can go. Why do the skies pull humans out of ships? And it's like, what if the whole lore becomes that, like, on-foot Thargoids didn't exist because they didn't need to until we came along. And now to really root us out, they need to, like, evolve that. I don't know.
Ooh, maybe. So it's a whole War of the Worlds thing. They're harvesting these people, grinding them up in their fertilizer in like new fields. Yeah. Got it. Nice.
It's like, because if they were only ever interceptors floating around in witch space, they don't need to walk around. So I don't know. It's conjecture, but I just want there to be I want there to be a long-term thread that pays off, but we'll see.
Maybe there will be, hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, I guess we forgot to mention, there's been rumors that the glaive has been changed and it's not as hard to escape from anymore. I think maybe it doesn't go quite as fast as it used to. Mm-hmm. I got stopped by a pair of them in flying the Mamba, which goes almost 600, not quite. And I was able to comfortably just boost away from both of them. And it wasn't because either they didn't peel off like they sometimes do. So I was able to just fly away.
So they removed the Mario Kart.
Yeah, code. I don't know. Because before, you know, I'd seen reports of maybe 750 meters a second. But then I'd also seen reports of, but sometimes it just catches you kind of thing. Like, we weren't really sure. Or it had some Mario Kart style rubber band effect. But if it did, or if it had a faster speed limit before, it's maybe reduced. I don't know. I've only encountered two since then. And the second one I turned and fought anyway. So
it's-a me, Fagio.
Because I was sort of curious if the glaive was any easier or harder to kill. I don't think their combat
aimed effectiveness at this game.
I don't think their combat effectiveness is any different.
I've never gotten away from one without getting a little fried.
I got away in a Chieftain once, which was the slowest ship I've ever escaped in, but it did hit me just a little bit with lightning, and I had my guns were at like 80% when I got away.
Yeah.
I'm still have a theory. It all depends on which direction that first boost you do is. Need to get that initial distance and then you can get away pretty easily. If you don't get that perfect, you run into issues.
Whereas the other night I got, you know, hyperdicted by two glaives, and in the Mamba, which I think it only probably does, it's less than 590, something like that, something near 590. And I don't know. I don't think I did anything perfect. I boosted kind of away from them and then just started putting on distance. So maybe they're changed. More reports needed.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we went and did like a night of ground reactivations or something again, where we're getting, you know, grabbed by glaives occasionally, you know, we'd build a date over the course of a night, maybe.
Yeah. It might change. Well, I'm trying to think. Would it change my AX reactivation build if I didn't if I knew I could get away from glaives and I didn't have to fight them, probably not. I'd still want this prismatic because the prismatic is nice because I can land under any bombardment and be fine.
Yeah, you like that Mamba too much.
It's because it's so pretty. It's just a
personal connection.
Yeah, but if you knew you could get away with Guardian stuff intact, you might, you know, be in just a fighting ship, because then if you get pulled by a Dusa, you can kill it to get the big payday or a Basilisk, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
now I have to be in a ship where I can kill the glaive if necessary and run away from the others.
Right.
But these new barnacle sites, if you blow up the Revenant, do they get resupplied like they do at a reactivation?
They do.
Okay.
Yes. You can't finish them off. Yeah. Yourself. If you fly around and like land, you'll see, I don't know, maybe four or five or six of them, and they're milling about. The area is much larger than a settlement, so they're not nearly as concentrated. But they do seem to call each other. So, like, I kind of drove up to one and took a shot, and the others kind of swarmed me right away, which got pretty hairy because the scorpion's a little bit slow. But I've always been able to kind of get away, get over a hill or something, put enough distance, and they seemed to lay off. So they might have a little bit less, I don't know, their behavior at the barnacle sites might be a little bit different, like they're a little less relentless. Because, you know, or maybe it's just the layout of when they're at a settlement, there's no large cover and they can just fly up as high as they want. And
I just love
no limit on their laser range.
I love I just love the description of these floating, deadly alien monstrosities as, oh, just milling about.
Well, they are. They're just like pointing their lights around. And then when they see me, you know, they have the same reaction when they see you. They try to kill you. But but I sort of scout around and, okay, they're all over there. Oh, here's a coral tree or two that where none are near it. And I just land the Mamba, drive over a hill quickly and grab a couple of saps. I can fit two sap in my scorpion and then drive back to the Mamba, take off, fly to a different side of the Barnacle Matrix site. And
so they're really just like unintelligent guard drones is what they are.
Yeah, they're drones. Yeah, they don't seem to be. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it makes you think about like what's going on with the Thargoids as a life form. Like, are these all Thargoids? You know, are the scavengers things that are at the imprint sites, are those Thargoids? And then these are also Thargoids of a different type, you know?
Yeah, what's their base form?
I don't know.
Weird.
That's what interests me about, like, when some more of this stuff gets revealed. It's like when we encounter the Thargoid foot soldier, is that an interceptor pilot? Mm-hmm. Is that a scout pilot, you know?
Yeah. The other thing I did was I flew out to one of the actual crashed Thargoid ships, right? Like the day after the update, just to see. I had this, I let myself down in the notes. There was enough about that they had tweaked at that site that I read into it, that it was a hint that there was some kind of major change we should find
at the imprint. You mean?
Yeah. Oh, and there wasn't.
Yeah. There's nothing different.
There were, I don't know, maybe there were more. I felt there were more of the actual, what do they call, like the repair drones?
I think they're called scavengers. Scavengers?
There were dozens of them. I maybe it's always been that way. I only did a handful of trips out there.
I think they're called scavengers because they're supposed to be like taking pieces of it apart and like recouping that stuff into the Thargoid hive.
Yeah.
Some you know, when I hear those things like that all the time, like even when Adaxius was talking about some of that, like them evolving is, you know, kind of a theory. They've said things like that. And I never know if any of this stuff has come from FDev or is this just players. Like the whole scavenger thing, you know, I've heard that before where they talk about they're taking apart that downed Titan is what they're doing. But I don't know if that's ever been officially said or if that's all freaking fan fiction.
I think that is...
They convert them to meta alloys, and that's what you can go pick up. But that interceptors will come and pick up those meta alloys.
But meta alloys also happen at barnacle sites. There are barnacles usually around the imprint sites as well.
Yeah,
but not only at the imprint sites. Yeah. So FDev refers to those as imprints, which is why they were called that in the patch notes.
Okay.
However, during the update 15, like info reveal to the partners. The all of the partners said that in that meeting, they said, oh yeah, those are crashed motherships. Didn't you guys know that?
Yeah.
Like, we thought that was obvious sort of thing, but they still refer to them as imprints. So I don't know. And I think that was also where they said that the scavengers, I was not in that meet. What?
No,
I'm not cool.
Sorry.
We know.
That was
this
me.
This is all second and third.
I knew you weren't in that meeting. I was
yeah,
being.
You're teasing me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm still here.
Anywho.
Top of the dangerous soundboard. I got to hit one because I don't know what this soundbite is.
I am the current bull of the woods, right. If you will.
Sorry.
Yep. You carry on. I'm done.
Just like that?
Yep.
It's over?
No, it doesn't have to be over.
Well, Adaxius said he was in a meeting he wasn't at. He's all angry now.
I'm not angry. I'm just...
I wasn't at that meeting.
That's the content as I see it. There's a new commodity. It's sap.
Oh, thank God there's sap. You can't harvest that with a scythe.
Commodity or material?
It's a commodity. There's a new material that the scythes drop called a protective membrane or something like that, which is not corrosive. But coral sap, which you get from the barnacle matrix sites, is corrosive.
There's enough new materials, especially like in the Titan and now one with the scythe, that I'm like, what's that angle? Is there going to be like...
Materials and commodities, because there's a bunch of samples. Of course, there was already a CG about that. Maybe they'll never do that again.
Barnacle sap. It's great to use to make syrup for your Thargoid-shaped pancakes.
There you go.
Pointy pancakes.
Have that with a cup of Motor Tistetta early in the morning.
Yeah, that'll clear
Or late in the morning.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah,
any time of day.
I recommend being fully awake before you drink your Motor Tistetta, because going from sleepy to Motor Tistetta awake is dangerous.
Yeah.
It's too rapid a change for any human to survive.
I'm on the verge of an existential nirvana revelation.
That's words.
Yeah, that's right. It's a strong drink.
It is a powerful drink.
We don't know.
It's a drink. It comes in a mug.
It's everything and nothing.
You'll go from half asleep to the third planet of the Corvallax system in an instant.
The universe in a cup. So fucking weird.
Yeah. Anyway, what else for content in this episode, guys?
I thought the Barnacle Matrix was a movie starring Keanu Reeves, Krabby Ann Moss. Shelgo Weaving and Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, stop.
And was written and directed by the Sharkowski sisters.
Please stop.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
That's the movie. What's the cheese?
Just hit stop on record right now. Show's over.
That's the movie. What's the cheese?
Do you have any chick chat you want to do?
I'm not following that.
Well, then who is?
Cheese. I guess Teflon's following himself. Teflon's got cheese.
That's the cheese.
The cheese is Colby cheese. Jack or Kojak. And it's a classic American combination of Colby and Monterey Jack cheese. It was invented when Colby and Monterey Jack were blended together before pressing.
On accident at a baseball game, just like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup was when somebody peanut butter and chocolate came into connection.
You got your Colby and my Monterey Jack. You got your Monterey Jack and my Colby.
It's exactly how that happened. All right.
It's very good. You should get some. I like to put it on sandwiches.
I almost always have a block of that in my house.
That's my son's favorite is Colby Jack.
It's a staple.
Because of the good color.
It can attach pieces of paper together. Hence, it's a staple.
It's a staple. All right, there's only one movie?
Oh, God.
Yes, it's Tropic Thunder, and it's 15 years old.
Yeah.
That's a great goddamn movie.
Yeah, that is what massively, I was going to say underrated, but I think most people now who have seen it agree that is a masterpiece. Yeah.
If you didn't think it was good, there's probably something wrong with you.
Definitely.
Yeah. That movie's hilarious.
Oh my God. Never mind. We can't even quote half that movie these days.
Nope. We can't. We're not doing that right now.
Yep. Nope. Yep. We want to keep our podcast on the internet, so we can't even talk about that movie, but it's amazing. So, yes. That's it.
That's all, folks. Do you make it sound like it's like bad or on the wrong side of some issue? It's not.
Well, just the jokes are too close to an edge that you got to be careful.
The jokes have a context.
They have a critical context.
Within the context that they exist, they are scathing and accurate and exactly right.
Exactly. But out of context, everyone can make you cancel.
Context.
Yeah. All right.
That's good writing.
Any other
business before? Let's just say, even if you hate Tom Cruise, you'll love him in that. Right?
Well, sure. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. The dance.
Yeah. Greatest thing ever.
Apparently, the fat hands was his idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He
said he would do the part, but you have to give me fat hands and I have to be allowed to dance.
Yep.
And they were like, that was later on our sheet. We were going to ask you for that. We were going to demand that. And you just gave it to us. So, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. What, Les Grossman? Was that the name of his character?
Yeah.
Yeah. Genius. Oh my God.
Amazing. Amazing.
There's jokes in there too that, wow. Yeah. All right.
But Tom Cruise, that's the thing about Tom Cruise. He's great in everything.
Yeah.
He's a wacko, but like, it doesn't mean he's not great at being in and like directing movies and stuff. He just keeps killing it all the time.
Maybe that's why he's so good.
Maybe.
That's the prime, like, appreciate the art separate from the artist thing.
Sure.
The guy like Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like that dude
has no other hobbies. It's just, I make movies and then I read magazines about making movies or I read books about making movies.
I don't know though, but I mean, he's become an actual fighter pilot. You know, I mean, he actually does all this stuff and you hear stories about shit that he's done for castmates and stuff over the years and that. Lavish gifts. I guess when you got like $1 trillion, you can do really nice things for people. It's not a big deal. But he does all kinds of crazy stuff for his castmates and stuff. It's kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
So he's so weird.
I don't know.
He's like the Mark Zuckerberg level of weird. Like, I'm not sure he's human.
Well, we know Zuckerberg's not human. He said it. Did you see that clip?
Did he go beep boop bop?
No, he literally is like, yeah, you know, and I'm he's talking about like stress and how it affects people. He's like, you know, and we know that how stress affects humans, and I used to be human. And then he like auto corrects, like, oh, I still am human. Everyone's laughing, but I'm like, that's the truth, buddy.
That's not what a human says.
You didn't slip.
He's been voice acting in
I too feel stress.
Bard's report. I mean,
cortisol. Must do cold plunge.
So next week we're gonna have Tefbot, Bard's bot, and Mark Zuckerberg host the podcast,
and there will be no
tell the difference between any of them.
No human involvement.
I love it.
I don't know if Tefbot has the bandwidth to do a whole podcast.
Mm.
speaking of Tefbot, I made this soundbite, and I don't know what it is. I made it and put it in here. So.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, Ching. I can't do that.
Oh.
There it is.
That's it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ching. I can't do
that.
He
said it twice.
Oh, he did. It's a me. It's a Ching.
Can I do a little fact?
I love how I take a deep breath right at the end of that.
Right at the end of that.
Yeah.
It's a me.
Well, you went on talking right after that, and I just wanted that part.
out of nowhere, I just dropped that. I have no idea. Like in the middle of a sentence, I did that. That's instead of punctuation, I put that in. I do that in real life, actually.
It was also pretty quiet, too. Like when I recorded it and when I was editing the sound bite, I had to turn the volume on it up. So it could be audible.
Yeah. Well, I thought I did it in my head and then you recorded it. So that's always bad.
You can record your head.
Maybe I can record what you say in your head.
Do we have to put quotation marks around that? Is that a quote then?
All right, guys. Any other business before I wrap this up?
Just to piggyback off the movies thing, I'll do one short thing. Blast. Just a little blast from the past. On this week in Elite Dangerous History, you guys ready for this?
Sure.
2 years ago, 3307, in this week of August, the NMLA was bomb. Was bomb. Oh, no, they bombed the Marlinist colonies.
NMLA. Nurgle's mustache looks amazing. You turned the camera
off! And the whole Marlinist saga kicked off. That was 2 years ago this week. Whatever came of those guys?
Unpopular opinion. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anything ever happened.
The emperor was eventually found frozen, and it was
wearing no clothes.
A bunch of people from the Senate, and they had propped up the NMLA as sort of a. They were propping them up as a villain so that they could like. Turn the empire to their favor somehow or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. So everybody, that's going to do it for the Loose Screws podcast. Or no, wait, what was it called? The chats, the space chats with buddies. Buddies chatting space buddies.
Space chat with buddies.
Space chat with buddies. This is Space Chat with Buddies episode 196. Thank you so much for listening.
Loading.
If you like the show, you can find us at Space Chat with that thing just buzzes and buzzes. Oh god.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Anyway, you should rate and review the show and stuff like that.
He's having some issues. I shut him down.
Having some issues, he's done. All right. Well, give us a rating. Go to discord.io/spacechatswithbuddies. Links in the show notes. Find our merch store at Space Chats with Buddies. merch.com where you can get mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. And you can support us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/spacechatswithbuddies. Once again, links in the show notes so that you don't have to remember that. So
Space anyway. Chats with Buddies has got to become a t-shirt.
We're on Twitter, SCWB.
Space chat with buddies. Space chat with buddies merch.com is not a website.
Spoilers, Jig. Jesus.
It is now.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Everyone.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
We love you
thanks,
all.
Thanks, Audaxius. Thanks, Jig. Thanks, Teflon.
Are you sure you want to thank me?
We'll see you next. Well, nobody's ever as sure about anything, are they?
Do you?
Are we?
We'll see what happens with the podcast next week. I'll be gone. We'll figure it out. We'll get a podcast out.
Salt
is a way of life.
All right, guys.
Good night.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.